Need to look like that, said Granny. You'll thank me one day. Don't you start playing around before you know what you're about, eh? Before you get up to tricks. You've got to learn what to do if things go wrong. Don't try to walk before you can run.
I can feel how to do it, Granny.
That's as may be. It's harder than it seems, is borrowing. Although I'll grant you've got a knack. That's enough for today. Bring us in over ourselves and I'll show you how to return.
The eagle beat the air over two recumbent forms, and Esk saw, in her mind's eye, two channels open for them. Granny's mind shape vanished.
Now!
Granny had been wrong. The eagle mind barely fought and didn't have time to panic. Esk held it, wrapped in her own mind. It writhed for an instant and then melted into her. Granny opened her eyes in time to see the bird give a hoarse cry of triumph, curve down low over the grass-grown scree and skim away down the mountainside. For a moment, it was a vanishing dot, and then it had gone, leaving only another echoing shriek. Granny looked down at Esk's silent form. The girl was light enough, but it was a long way home, and the afternoon was dwindling.
Drat,
she said, with no particular emphasis. She stood up, brushed herself down, and with a grunt of effort, hauled Esk's inert body over her shoulder. High in the crystal sunset air above the mountains, the eagle Esk sought more height, drunk with the sheer vitality of flight. On the way home, Granny met a hungry bear. Granny's back was giving her jip and she was in no mood to be growled at. She muttered a few words under her breath, and the bear, to its brief amazement, walked heavily into a tree and didn't regain consciousness for several hours. When she reached the cottage, Granny put Esk's body to bed and drew up the fire. She brought the goats in and milked them and finished the chores of the evening. She made sure all the windows were open, and when it began to grow dark, lit a lantern and put it on the windowsill. Granny Weatherwax didn't sleep for more than a few hours a night, as a rule, and woke again at midnight. The room hadn't changed, although the lantern had its own little solar system of very stupid moths. When she woke again at dawn, the candle had long burned down, and Esk was still sleeping the shallow, unwakeable sleep of the borrower. When she took the goats out to their paddock, she looked intently at the sky. Noon came, and gradually the light drained out of another day. She paced the floor of the kitchen aimlessly. Occasionally, she would throw herself into frantic bouts of housework. Ancient crusts were unceremoniously dug out of the cracks in the flagstones, and the fireback was scraped free of the winter soot and black-leaded to within an inch of its life. A nest of mice in the back of the dresser were kindly but firmly ejected into the goat's shed. Sunset came. The light of the Discworld was old and slow and heavy. From the cottage door, Granny watched as it drained off the mountains, flowing in golden rivers through the forest. Here and there, it pooled in hollows until it faded and vanished. She drummed her fingers sharply on the doorpost, humming a small and bitter little tune. Dawn came, and the cottage was empty except for Esk's body, silent and unmoving on the bed. But as the golden light flowed slowly across the Discworld like the first freshing of the tide over mudflats, the eagle circled higher into the dome of heaven, beating the air down with slow and powerful wing beats. The whole of the world was spread out beneath Esk, all the continents, all the islands, all the rivers, and especially the great ring of the Rim Ocean. There was nothing else up here, not even a sound. Esk gloried in the feel of it, willing her flagging muscles into greater effort. But something was wrong. Her thoughts seemed to be chasing around beyond her control and disappearing. Pain and exhilaration and weariness poured into her mind, but it was as if other things were spinning.